Shalom, this is Rabbi Paul Saul from Congregation Shuv Yisrael in West Hartford, Connecticut. And today I'd like to share with you a few ideas that I shared at the UMJC conference in Newton, Massachusetts. There are always two unseen guests at every bris, neither of whom ever gets an invitation and both of whom probably wouldn't RSVP even if they were sent one, but their presence is strongly felt nonetheless. One is Elijah, the beloved and unexpected one. The chair we set aside for him at the bris isn't just a quaint tradition. It's a bold reminder that covenant is never just about the past. It's about the promise of the future. The other guest, well, he's not quite so cuddly. His name is Pinchas, and he doesn't get a chair. He gets a spear. And frankly, if he showed up unannounced at your next family simcha, most of you would probably call security. And yet, every bris includes the passage from last week's Parsha where God makes a covenant of peace with Pinchas. And I'm quoting from Numbers 25, 11 through 13, Pinchas, son of Eleazar, son of Aharon the priest, turned back my wrath from upon the children of Israel when he zealously avenged me among them. Therefore I grant him my covenant of peace. What an odd text to recite at a baby's circumcision. Couldn't we go with something just a little bit lighter? Maybe something about Abraham holding baby Isaac with soft lighting and a harp in the background? But no, it's Pinchas, the avenger, spear-wielding priest. The Torah does not shy away from the tension, and neither should we. So why Pinchas? Why here? Why now? Well, we first met Pinchas at the end of Parshat Balak, Numbers 25, 7 through 8. The nation of Israel, under divine protection, could not be cursed by Balaam, no matter how much Balak paid him. So, as we learn this week's Parsha, Matot Maseh, Balaam, ever the strategist, proposed a more covert and devastating tactic: corrupt them from within. According to Moreh Nevuchim and Sanhedrin, since he could not curse Israel, Balaam advised Balak to strike at their moral center, specifically to target their sexual integrity. Knowing that sexual morality is one of the foundations of Jewish holiness, he counseled them if the people could be seduced into transgression, their divine protection would collapse from the inside out. So Balak sent the women of Moab to entice the general population, and the daughters of Midian were reserved for a more insidious purpose: to undermine Israel's leadership, to entangle those closest to the heart of the covenant. And frankly, it worked. Zimri, a leader in Israel, a prince of the tribe of Simeon, publicly flaunts this rebellion by bringing Cozbi, a Midianite princess, into the heart of the camp and cohabitating with her in full view. This was not merely an indiscretion, it was a calculated act of defiance, a challenge to Moses, to the Torah, and to the moral foundations of the people, and to the God who had set them apart. So enter Pinchas. Without invitation, without instruction, without delay, he rises, spear in hand, and he impales them both, ending the plague and halting Israel's descent into chaos. Is this outrageous, over the top, shocking, overly dramatic, even illegal? Yes, 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 and according to the halakhic tradition, again, yes. And yet God responds with affirmation. We're left to wrestle with this. The rabbinic tradition is clear that Pinchas' action was extraordinary and not legally sanctioned. Ein morin kei. We do not teach this as a precedent. This is not normal behavior. This is not the model. It's a lightning strike exception. And yet the Torah blesses him. God makes with him a covenant of peace. This is not an endorsement of violence. It's not a recognition of something deep. It's a recognition of something deeper, the power of holy passion. So it's left us to ask ourselves, what are we willing to risk? The passion of Pinchas reminds us that sacred identity is not maintained by accident. It must be guarded. It has to be lived and at times it must be defended. It's somewhat axiomatic in our age that when moral norms are quietly abandoned, the foundations of a people begin to crack. Few things so easily corrode a covenantal community as unaddressed transgressions involving sex and money. Entire movements have collapsed under the weight of what they failed to confront. But our generational fears zeal, and often for good reason. We have all seen what religious extremism can do. We have seen zeal without knowledge, fire without wisdom, and certainty without compassion. But what about the opposite danger? What about complete apathy? What about silence? What about the slow, dignified slide into irrelevance because nothing is worth fighting for and nothing is worth guarding? Today, we are not losing Jews to violence or exile. We are losing them to forgetfulness, to assimilation, to absence. We are losing Jews not to persecution, but to indifference. Pinchas reminds us that covenant requires commitment, that peoplehood requires passion. A vision for Messianic Judaism would suggest that it cannot be a spiritual costume, a kind of Hebrew-flavored Christianity, nor can it simply be Judaism plus Jesus. It must be something deeper, more authentic, a true return, a rebuilding of the house of Israel with Yeshua at the center, not as an intruder, but as the cornerstone. We dream of a community where Jewish life is not a performance, but a way of being, where we wear tzitzit not to prove a point, but to remember the mitzvot, where our children grow up saying the Shema with conviction and singing Modeh Ani with joy, where Yeshua is not only our personal Savior, but He is the Redeemer of all Israel. This is behind the meaning behind Ruth's words, "Your people shall be my people, and your God my God." It's not just about belief, but about belonging, about becoming part of a people with a sacred story and an eternal ending. This kind of faith takes more than belief, it takes passion. It takes people willing to be like Pinchas. Not the violent part, but unafraid. Not reckless, but courageous. People who love this faith enough to live it fully and pass it on. And so we return to the bris. The child is brought into the covenant. Elijah is seated. Pinchas hovers silently, and we must ask, what kind of faith are we willing to pass on? Will the child see a community that burns with passion for holiness, that protects what is sacred, that knows who we are? Will we be the generation that guards the covenant not with fear, but with love? May we be that people. May we carry the fire of Pinchas and the stillness of Elijah. May we walk in the courage of Ruth and the conviction of Moses. May we build a Messianic Judaism that is bold, mature, rooted, and real. And may the one who is coming, the Son of David, the pierced Redeemer, find us faithful, passionate, and ready. This is Rabbi Paul Saul. It's been my pleasure to share these thoughts with you. If you would like this teaching and like more like it, please go to umjc.org. Have a wonderful week and a pleasant Shabbat.